Today is the 22nd day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Here we are at the threshold of a shiny, sparkly new week that we get to walk through and into together. We'll read from the Names of God Bible this week, which is fun and important for us to encounter once in a while. Basically, what the Names of God Bible translation does is anytime God is referred to, its original utterance. So in its original language, that is retained, even though this is an English translation and everything else is kept in English. When God is referred to, it is retained in its original language. So we'll take the next step forward in the book of Jeremiah, of course, but we concluded Paul's first letter to Timothy, and so we'll begin 2 Timothy today when we get to the New Testament reading, and we'll talk about that when we get there. But first, Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 1 through 41, verse 18. In the 10th month of Zedekiah's 9th year as king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon attacked Jerusalem with his entire army and blockaded it. On the 9th day of the 4th month of Zedekiah's 11th year as king, they broke into the city. Then all the officers of the king of Babylon came in and sat in middle gate. Nergal, the quartermaster, Samgar Nebo, the chief officer, Nergal, the quartermaster and the chief fortune teller, and all the rest of the officers of the king of Babylon. When King Zedekiah of Judah and all the soldiers saw them, they fled. They left the city at night by way of the king's garden through the gate between the two walls, and they took the road to the plain of Jericho. The Babylonian army pursued them and caught up with Zedekiah in the plain of Jericho. They arrested him and brought him to Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar at Riblah in the territory of Hamath. The king of Babylon passed sentence on him. The king of Babylon slaughtered Zedekiah's sons as Zedekiah watched at Riblah. He also slaughtered all the leaders of Judah. Then he blinded Zedekiah, put him in bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. The Babylonians burned down the royal palace and the people's homes, and they tore down the walls of Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, Babylon's captain of the guard, captured the few people left in the city, those who surrendered to him, and the rest of the people. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left some poor people who had nothing in the land of Judah. At that time, he gave them vineyards and farms. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon gave Nebuzaradan an order concerning Jeremiah. He said, "Take him and look after him. Don't harm him in any way, but do for him whatever he asks." Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, Nebuzaradan, the chief official, Nergal, the quartermaster and the chief fortune teller, and all the other leaders of the king of Babylon sent for Jeremiah. They took Jeremiah out of the courtyard of the prison and handed him over to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, and grandson of Shaphan, to take him home. So he lived among the people. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the prison, Yahweh spoke his word to him. Yahweh said, "Say to Ebed-Melech from Sudan, 'This is what Yahweh, Tzabaoth, the Elohim of Israel, says. I'm going to carry out my threat against this city by bringing disaster on it instead of prosperity. At that time, these things will happen as you watch. But at that time, I will rescue you,' declares Yahweh. 'You will not be handed over to those you fear. I will certainly rescue you. You will not die in war. You will escape with your life because you trusted me,' declares Yahweh." Yahweh spoke his word to Jeremiah after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, let him go at Ramah. Nebuzaradan found Jeremiah in chains along with the captives of Jerusalem and Judah, who were being taken to Babylon. The captain of the guard took Jeremiah aside and said to him, Yahweh, your Elohim, threatened to bring this disaster on this place. He has carried out his threat. Yahweh did as he promised because you Israelites have sinned against him and refused to obey him. That is why this has happened to you. Today, I'm removing the chains from your hands. If you would like to come with me to Babylon, come and I'll look after you. But if you don't want to come with me to Babylon, don't come. The whole land is yours. Go wherever you want. If you wish to remain, then go back to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, and grandson of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon appointed to govern the cities of Judah. Live among the people with him, or go anywhere you want. The captain of the guard gave Jeremiah some food and a present and let him go. Jeremiah went to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, at Mizpah, and lived with him among the people who were left in the land. All the army commanders and their men who were in the field heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, to govern the country, and some of the country's poorest men, women, and children who had not been taken away to Babylon. These are the commanders who went with their men to Gedaliah at Mizpah: Ishmael, son of Netaniah, Yohanan, and Jonathan, sons of Kareah, Seraiah, son of Tenumeth, the sons of Ephi from Netophah, and Jezaniah, who was the son of a man from Maacah. Gedaliah, son of Ahikam and grandson of Shaphan, swore an oath to them and their men. He said, "Don't be afraid to serve the Babylonians. Live in this country. Serve the king of Babylon, and you will prosper. I'm going to live in Mizpah and represent you when the Babylonians come to us. Gather grapes, summer fruit, and olive oil, and put them in storage jars. Live in the cities you have taken over." Now all the Jews who were in Moab, Ammon, Edom, and in all the other countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a few survivors in Judah and had appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, and grandson of Shaphan, to govern them. So all the Jews returned from all the places where they had been scattered. They came to Judah and to Gedaliah at Mizpah. They gathered a large harvest of grapes and summer fruits. Kareah's son, Yohanan, and all the army commanders who were still in the country came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. They asked him, "Do you know that King Baalis of the Ammonites has sent Ishmael, Netaniah's son, to kill you?" However, Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, didn't believe them. Then Yohanan, Kareah's son, secretly asked Gedaliah at Mizpah, "Let me kill Ishmael, Netaniah's son. No one will know about it. Why should he kill you? All the Jews who have gathered around you would scatter. What is left of Judah would disappear." Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, told Yohanan, Kareah's son, "Don't do that. What you are saying about Ishmael is a lie." In the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Netaniah and grandson of Elishama, a descendant of the royal family and of the king's officers, went with 10 men to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, at Mizpah. As they ate together at Mizpah, Ishmael, son of Netaniah, and the 10 men who were with him got up, drew their swords, and killed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, and grandson of Shaphan. So they assassinated the man whom the king of Babylon had appointed to govern the land. Ishmael also killed all the Jews who were with Gedaliah at Mizpah, as well as the Babylonian soldiers that he found there. The day after the murder of Gedaliah, before anyone knew about it, 80 men arrived from Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria. Their beards were shaved off, their clothes were torn, and cuts were on their bodies. They brought grain offerings and incense to Yahweh's temple. Ishmael, son of Netaniah, left Mizpah to meet them, crying as he went. When he met them, he said to them, "Come to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam." When they came into the city, Ishmael, son of Netaniah, and his men slaughtered them and threw them into a cistern. However, 10 men from the group had said to Ishmael, "Don't kill us. We have wheat, barley, olive oil, and honey hidden in the country." So he left them alone and didn't kill them, along with the others. Now the cistern where Ishmael threw all the bodies of the men he had killed was the same one that King Asa made as a part of his defense against King Baasha of Israel. Ishmael, son of Netaniah, filled it with the bodies. Then Ishmael took captive the rest of the people who were at Mizpah. He captured the king's daughters and all the other people who had been left at Mizpah. They were the people whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had put under the control of Gedaliah, son of Ahikam. Ishmael, son of Netaniah, took them captive and left for Ammon. When Kareah's son, Yohanan, and all the army commanders who were with him heard about all the crimes Ishmael, son of Netaniah, had done, they took all their men and went to fight Ishmael. They caught up with him at the large pool in Gibeon. When all the people who were with Ishmael saw Kareah's son Yohanan and all the army commanders who were with him, they were glad. Then all the people Ishmael had taken captive at Mizpah turned and ran to Kareah's son Yohanan. Ishmael and 8 of his men escaped from Yohanan and fled to Ammon. Then Kareah's son Yohanan and all the army commanders who were with him brought back the rest of the people of Mizpah, whom he had rescued from Ishmael, son of Netaniah, after Ishmael had killed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam. Yohanan brought back men, women, children, soldiers, and commanders from Gibeon. When they left Gibeon, they stayed near Bethlehem, at Geruth Kimham, on their way to Egypt. They were afraid of the Babylonians, because Ishmael had killed Gedaliah, whom the king of Babylon had appointed to govern the land. Okay, like I mentioned at the beginning, we concluded Paul's first letter to his protege, to his son in the faith, Timothy, whom was serving as the pastor at the church of Ephesus. Which brings us to 2 Timothy, the second letter Paul wrote to Timothy, and it came in a very short period of time, the first and the second letters. And this particular letter has kind of a special place in the New Testament and should hold a gravity and a sobriety for us, because this is the Apostle Paul's final writing of his life. So the Apostle Paul, whom we've journeyed with and traveled with and watched do so many things, so much ministry in so many places on so many travels, and who has poured out his life while he was alive, is about to lose his life. Paul is back in prison in chains in a dungeon. Winter is coming, and it's become absolutely against the law to be known as a Christian. And just about everyone has deserted Paul. The only one who has stayed with him in Rome is Luke the physician, who authored Luke and Acts. Paul knows it's just a matter of time, and he will likely be executed. And he deeply wants to see his son in the faith, Timothy, face to face, one last time. But the way the narrative reads in this letter He's trying to tell Timothy some of the things that he would prefer to tell him in person, but he's writing them down just in case it's too late. It's in this letter that he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." But before he says this, he gives Timothy his parting words. And this is a man, now the Apostle Paul, this is a man who has given his life to the cause of Christ and has suffered at every turn. And now he knows there's one more bit of suffering, and it will be his execution, and he will die, and his death is imminent. And he tells his son in the faith important words of counsel. Keep your head. Be vigilant about your faith no matter what happens. No matter what, Timothy, stay true. So Paul's second letter to Timothy is a passionate plea for the faith. And we can understand that this is being written from a condemned man and one of the most influential people in all of the faith. The impact on us should be and can be the same as it was when it was originally read. And so we begin. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. From Paul, an apostle of Christ, Yeshua, by God's will, a will that contains Christ Yeshua's promise of life. To Timothy, my dear child, goodwill, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Yeshua, our Lord. I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, when I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. I remember your tears and want to see you so that I can be filled with happiness. I'm reminded of how sincere your faith is, that faith first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I'm convinced that it also lives in you. You received a gift from God when I placed my hands on you to ordain you. Now I'm reminding you to fan that gift into flames. God didn't give us a cowardly spirit, but a spirit of power, love, and good judgment. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, or be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Instead, by God's power, join me in suffering for the sake of the good news. God saved us and called us to be holy, not because of what we had done, but because of his own plan and kindness. Before the world began, God planned that Christ Yeshua would show us God's kindness. Now, with the coming of our Savior, Christ Yeshua, he has revealed it. Christ has destroyed death, and through the good news, he has brought eternal life into full view. I was appointed to be a messenger of this good news and a teacher. For this reason, I suffer as I do. However, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I trust. I'm convinced that he is able to protect what he had entrusted to me until that day. With faith and love for Christ Yeshua, consider what you heard me say to be the pattern of accurate teachings. With the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, protect the good news that has been entrusted to you. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord be merciful to the family of Onesiphorus. He often took care of my needs and wasn't ashamed that I was a prisoner. When he arrived in Rome, he searched hard for me and found me. May the Lord grant that Onesiphorus finds mercy when that day comes. You know very well that he did everything possible to help me in Ephesus. Psalm 90 and 91, Book 4, A Prayer by Moses, the Man of Elohim. O Adonai, you have been our refuge throughout every generation. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, you were El. You are El, from everlasting to everlasting. You turn mortals back into dust and say, "Return, descendants of Adam." Indeed, in your sight, 1,000 years are like a single day, like yesterday, already past, like an hour in the night. You sweep mortals away. They are a dream. They sprout again in the morning like cut grass. In the morning they blossom and sprout. In the evening they wither and dry up. Indeed, your anger consumes us. Your rage terrifies us. You have set our sins in front of you. You have put our secret sins in the light of your presence. Indeed, all our days slip away because of your fury. We live out our years like one long sigh. Each of us lives for 70 years, or even 80 if we are in good health. But the best of them bring trouble and misery. Indeed, they are soon gone and we fly away. Who fully understands the power of your anger? A person fears you more when he better understands your fury. Teach us to number each of our days so that we may grow in wisdom. Return, Yahweh. How long? Change your plans about us, your servants. Satisfy us every morning with your mercy so that we may sing joyfully and rejoice all our days. Make us rejoice for as many days as you have made us suffer, for as many years as we have experienced evil. Let us, your servants, see what you can do. Let our children see your glorious power. Let the kindness of Adonai our Elohim be with us. Make us successful in everything we do. Yes, make us successful in everything we do. Whoever lives under the shelter of Elyon will remain in the shadow of Shaddai. I will say to Yahweh, you are my Mekseh and my Matsuda, my Elohim, in whom I trust. He is the one who will rescue you from hunters' traps and from deadly plagues. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His truth is your shield and armor. You do not need to fear terrors of the night, arrows that fly during the day, plagues that roam the dark, epidemics that strike at noon. They will not come near you. Even though 1,000 may fall dead beside you, or 10,000 at your right side, you only have to look with your eyes to see the punishment of wicked people. You, O Yahweh, are my Mekseh. You have made Elyon your home. No harm will come to you. No sickness will come near your house. He will put his angels in charge of you to protect you in all your ways. They will carry you in their hands so that you never hit your foot against a rock. You will step on lions and cobras. You will trample young lions and snakes. Because you love me, I will rescue you. I will protect you because you know my name. When you call to me, I will answer you. I will be with you when you are in trouble. I will save you and honor you. I will satisfy you with a long life. I will show you how I will save you. Proverbs 26, 1 and 2. Like snow in summertime and rain at harvest time, so honor is not right for a fool. Like a fluttering sparrow, like a darting swallow, so a hastily spoken curse does not come to rest. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we take the journey through Paul's final writings, we ask that your Holy Spirit make us see it soberly as a deep encouragement from a saint who is about to die. May we listen with that gravity in honoring that, but in also applying it to our lives. And as we move into this new week, we consecrate ourselves to you, offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to you in the tradition of St. Paul. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us forward. Lead us with assurance. Lead us with stability and hope. Come, Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is the website. It's home base. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at DailyAudioBible.com. There is a link. It's on the homepage. Thank you humbly and profoundly for clicking that link. Or if you prefer, the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to dial. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Lorianne from South Carolina. And I'm calling tonight because I would like to say thank you, my Heavenly Father, for every single thing that you've ever done for me. And thank you, Jesus, for paying for my sins on that cross when you were embarrassed and you felt alone and deserted and you were in such racking pain. And just the thought of you taking the brunt of that violence for my sins, it makes me sick at my stomach, and I don't deserve you. And praise God that you give us a way to get to you, and that's through faith. And I know sometimes I wonder if my name's going to be written down there, or if he's going to say, I'm sorry, but I never knew you. And that's something that I battle every single day. It doesn't matter how much I read my Bible or how much I listen to Brian. Brian gives us the most amazing sermons that I could ever ask for. I just wanted to pray for a few people tonight. I'd like to pray for Sparky. I'd like to pray for blind Tony. I'd like to pray for his little Cherie, his yellow flower in Canada, and her son. And there are so many other people I would like to pray for, but I have these special friends, Mike and Pam Brooks. and both of them, Mike has lost his mother, Pam has had a knee replacement, and they need desperate prayer. They are believers, and we are praying for complete healness in Pam's knee. So thank you so much. Again, this is Lori Ann in South Carolina.
Shalom, Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is October 16th. Let us continue to pray for our children. Sheenan, son Mike, there was a court date and some issues with that, and he tried to take his own life. We give you praise. Our Lord and Savior, that Mike didn't succeed in trying to take his life. Lord, we ask that you be with him, enter into his life, let him turn to you for guidance, give his mother words to speak. We give you praise. The court date was put off, but Lord, between now and then, we pray that this young man will get his life together, that it will turn to you and the Holy Spirit will fill him. Nikki called in, would like us to continue to pray for her son who had a scope done and a biopsy, and he had a low body temperature, and they're trying to figure out what's going on with that. So I pray that that has all been healed and that this young man is doing well, Lord. We ask for your intervention and your hand of healing. She also would like us to pray for her niece, Jennifer, who was just found out to have cancer. So, Lord, we ask that you be with Jennifer during this time. If it is your will, you place your hand upon her and heal her and walk her through this. Gift of God would like us to pray for her cousin, 9-year-old Julia. She had some major surgery, it sounds like, because she is moving. So we give you praise, Lord, that it seems that her recovery is going well. We ask that you continue to be with her recovery. So we lift this all up to you in Jesus' name. Amen, and God bless.
Angie in Texas, this is Boyce, the bass player in Northern Nevada. I want to pray for your son, Juan. I've been through cancer myself, and God is definitely a healer. Father God, I just lift up Juan, ask that you would bring healing to this colon cancer, and that you would bring a miraculous set of tests coming that would indicate that it is moving in the opposite direction and no longer going to even need any more chemotherapy or any kind of treatments like that that are poison in his body. That you would just give him resources that would help him to be able to have a healthy body and a body that rejects all forms of cancer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, DAB brothers and sisters. This is Rob Still, worship dude from Nashville, Tennessee. It's the middle of October, and I am currently on a missions project, first in Greece with a group of missionaries on a missions project here, and then I'll be in Romania till the end of the month. I'm calling to ask for your prayers, not only for myself, but for all those who are engaged in the missionary project around the world. Matthew 28 tells us that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus Christ. And then he tells us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything he has commanded us. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Father, we thank you that you are with us right now. We pray for all believers in Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would help us to be ambassadors for Christ wherever we are. Lord, we pray for your safety and protection on those engaged in the missionary activity. And God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all nations to come to Christ. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your prayers. Amen.